Suze, my flatmate come sort of landlady, deposits my phone on the vanity unit and sits down on the side of the bath. Excited and nervous, I say, now wiping toner over my face and dabbing moisturiser under my eyes. You're going to be great, she says, giving me an encouraging thumbs up, and I grin at her through the mirror and pump some foundation onto the tips of my fingers. My phone buzzes again as I smear the makeup over my face, and I reach for it, leaving streaks on my cheeks. Dad. Best of luck, Petal. Dad. But don't swear. Lydia. So excited for you about today. I believe in you. Mind you, don't say fuck, though. Kiss. Why do they both think I'm going to unleash the potty mouth? I ask. It's rhetorical, but Suze answers anyway. Because they know you, she laughs. I'm not going to swear. I'm going to pretend I'm on the telly, I say, lining my eyes and cleaning off a smudge with a cotton pad. Probably not a bad idea, Suze shrugs. Have you thought about what you're going to say? I guess that depends on what they ask. She nods slowly. But assuming they go on all the stuff I've sent over, then yes, I should be able to wow them. What do you reckon? Purple, nude, or red? I ask, and I hold up my three favourite lipsticks. Red. It's a power colour. People never ever mess with a woman wearing red lipstick. Done, I say. Suze gets up to leave. I'm going to the gym now, so I'll catch you later. Remember not to swear. I arrive in Fitzrovia a little bit early, and there's a man loitering outside the building as I approach. He is very, very cool. I'm talking James Dean cool. Coiffed hair and Ray-Bans and a bomber jacket with varsity ribbing levels of cool. But it's not even really just how he looks. There's this vibe about him, an attitude. He's radiating confidence, talking on his phone whilst leaning against the brick wall, and he doesn't acknowledge me at all as I push open the glass door. Fran Tatlin, I say in hushed tones to the girl at the reception desk. Here for... She strikes through my name on a list. Yep, she smiles warmly at me. Take a seat. And she gestures to a pair of yellow and black striped sofas with four other people sitting on them. Someone budges up for me. But no one is talking. Not one person says anything. I whisper my thanks and study everybody's shoes. The phone rings and the receptionist answers through a headset. She talks cheerfully, taps at a keyboard and transfers the call. Then she sits back, stretches, sips from a can of Sprite, and focuses her attention back on her screen. Beyond her desk, people flit around an open-plan office. Someone throws a paper aeroplane across the room, and it's swiftly followed by a scrunched-up ball of paper from the opposite direction, and laughter. Someone else wanders around wearing giant wireless headphones. There's music playing, and friendly, chatty conversation. But none of the fun or lively atmosphere reaches the two stripy sofas. The five of us sit, steadfastly refusing to make eye contact, not engaging in a conversation of our own at all, friendly or otherwise. Instead, a girl absent-mindedly picks at her cuticles, next to a boy who has clearly just graduated and thought it appropriate to turn up in a boxy grey suit, complete with nervous disposition and snazzy, jazzy tie, which I can only assume belongs to his father. The guy sitting next to me keeps wriggling. His hip keeps bouncing against mine, and I fleetingly wonder if he needs the toilet. And then the door swings open, and James Dean saunters in, and even his gait exudes self-assurance. I'm fully expecting him to walk straight past us and into the midst of everything happening in the studio beyond, stop in the middle of it all and do something cool that commands everyone's attention, like the Fonz or Danny from Greece. But he too checks in with the receptionist and takes the only available seat directly opposite me. I don't hear his name, but instead I amuse myself with guessing what it could be. Blake? Finley? Levi? And finding ways to surreptitiously check him out. Pretty green eyes. Quite a sharp jawline.